Welcome to Awaken to Sleep Education.
Last but definitely not least, I want to introduce our speaker tonight. I'm Chad. I'm not important. I work at Awaken to Sleep. You guys know that. But we've got Brittany Ciara Murphy here. She's a hygienist. Looks like she's got a bachelor's in science, and a couple of her credentials are also there on the screen. She's a registered dental hygienist and a myofunctional therapist. I forgot how to pronounce this word.
Butaco. Nope.
Butanko, thank you. Breathing educator, a leader, a speaker, and a mentor. She's a co-founder of the CT Orofacial Myology and co-founder of MyoAir. She teaches other hygienists to become myofunctional therapists through the Team Myo program at Airway Health Solutions. And she's the face behind the iSpy with My MyoEye, available on all major podcast platforms, which I have to say kudos to you, Brittany, because I love your podcast name. I think I even used it in promoting this webinar to put let's talk about myotherapy. So thank you. Very clever.
Thank you very much.
Cool. One last reminder. I'm so sorry. I forgot. You guys have already done fantastic at practicing this, but chat goes in the chat. Okay. So make sure your chats are going there. Second is, if you have questions, there's a question answer feature. Please make sure to be using that. We're going to be monitoring that and answering your questions. We will stay tonight until the questions are answered. You don't have to stay though. We'll make sure you get your CE on the hour. So with that, Brittany, let's jump into this myofunctional thing and get a deep dive into what, where, why, and how. Thank you for jumping on tonight.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here with you all tonight and to share my passion of myofunctional therapy. First, I just want to thank Chad and Awaken to Sleep for hosting me on this webinar. Like I said, super excited to be here. You'll have to bear with me. I was telling Chad when I woke up this morning, I woke up with a sore throat, a stuffy nose, and I'm like, oh no, I need to be on live tonight. But that's all right. We'll get through it. I have my tissues. I have my water. Chad already told you all about me, so we don't have to go through that. So let's just get into it. So what is myofunctional therapy? Some of you might have no idea whatsoever what it is, which is totally fine because I had no idea at all what it was until I became a myofunctional therapist. I read about it in an RDH magazine. So I am a registered dental hygienist. I do not practice clinically anymore. But I came across it in an article and I was like, what is this? Like, I need to learn more. How do I not know about this? I actually even texted some of my college friends and I was like, guys, did I like skip class this day? Did we learn about this? Because I don't know what it is, but it sounds super cool. So anyways, you might hear a few different terms when it comes to myofunctional therapy. It might be myofunctional therapy. It might be oral facial myofunctional therapy. It might be oral facial myology, or for short, we call it OMT or myo. What it is not myofascial therapy. So I do just want to put that out there. That is more of a hands-on manual technique. If you look up the technical definition of myofunctional therapy, I really like the Academy of Oral Facial Myofunctional Therapy's definition. And that is the neuromuscular re-education or repatterning of the oral facial muscles. So it is a therapy that includes, it is an exercise-based program. So we're doing facial exercises, tongue exercises, behavior modification techniques to promote what our goals are in myofunctional therapy, which is to ensure optimal oral rest posture and tongue rest posture, which we're going to talk about what that is in a second, improved breathing, chewing, and swallowing. And really what we're working on is to try to create that harmonious balance in the oral facial muscles. So working on removing any unintentional pressures that might be on those dental structures. You might also hear it compared to physical therapy. I don't really like to use the physical therapy analogy because, again, my background is RDH, so I don't really like to feel like I'm kind of practicing out of my scope. However, a lot of people do use that analogy because it is the most easiest way for patients to kind of understand what myo is. Most people will say it's like physical therapy for your mouth. I also like the term of using me as like a personal trainer for the muscles of your mouth. The only thing with using that personal trainer analogy, usually the question I get after that is, are these exercises something that I'm going to have to do for the rest of my life? Because we all know that we can go to the gym and we can hit the gym hard and we can get the body we want. But the second we stop going to the gym and we stay home instead with a bag of Doritos, we're going to lose everything. All that muscle strength that we gained, the tone and all of that. That is not how myofunctional therapy works. Remember, I said myofunctional therapy is neuromuscular re-education. So what we're doing through these exercises and behavior modification techniques is we're recarving neural pathways. So we're recarving those pathways between the brain and the muscles. So these become lasting habits. When we talk about what our goals are of myofunctional therapy, now, regardless of really who I'm working with, by the time they graduate their myofunctional therapy program, I want to establish dominant nasal breathing patterns all day and all night. We want to attain a competent lip seal, so those lips completely closed. Technically, if you look up what a normal interlabial gap measurement is, if you look it up in the textbooks, it does say 1 to 3 millimeters is considered within normal limits. As a myofunctional therapist, we really like to see that completely closed, competent lip seal, no facial tension at all. We want to create a palatal tongue rest posture, and I'm going to have a slide for you to show you how much of that tongue we want to get up in the roof of the mouth. This is going to be very important for sleep, for keeping our airway open. We work on developing a bilateral alternating mastication pattern, which is very important. Your oral facial muscles are like any other muscle in your body. If you don't use it, you lose it. So if we have patients that, you know, are only chewing on their right side because they have a toothache on their left side, we can see some asymmetry going on in the face. The other really important reason is, number one, we want to make sure we chew enough because we want to create good bone loading, right? And bone growth. And in order for us to have good bone loading between the maxilla and the mandible, we really have to have that alternating pattern, because when you chew on the left side, it's going to stimulate your mandible to grow on the left and then the maxilla to grow on the right, and then opposite. When you're chewing on the right side, it's going to stimulate your mandible to grow on the right and your maxilla to grow on the left. We work on optimizing swallowing patterns with a back teeth together swallow. This is very important, especially with our TMD patients. We, you know, generally want those back teeth hovering 2 to 3 millimeters, that dental freeway space. The only time those back teeth should ever touch is when you swallow. And we also work on eliminating noxious oral habits if they're present. So thumb sucking, nail biting, if we're working with pediatrics, extended pacifier use, sippy cup use, finger sucking, you know, biting on clothes, pens, pencils, things like that.
Hey, Brittany, I've got a quick question from the chat. Yeah. And it was super relevant to what we're talking about in the goals of treatment. Yeah. Michael asks, can ditching the CPAP be a reasonable goal for myotherapy?
So, I will never tell somebody that we are going to 100% be able to get them off of their CPAP. However, there is some research that we're going to talk about tonight. There was a study done in 2015 by Dr. Camacho that showed that oral pharyngeal exercises, which is essentially what myofunctional therapy is, helps to reduce the AHI by 50% in adults and 62% in children. So I can't say that we're going to be able to rid of the CPAP. I think it also depends exactly where they fall in that sleep apnea spectrum. But it definitely can help increase its efficacy and how comfortable it is for patients. But unfortunately, that's not something that I could ever guarantee. But I have seen it happen.
Yeah, I just to add on the sleep side of that, in order to ever have a patient who is getting off of CPAP, you should have a recommendation from a medical provider authorizing that shift. But a 50% reduction in AHI is pretty significant. But I'll let you get to that study in a minute. Michael, thank you for your great question. Remember, folks, questions in the question and answer, and we'll get to them when we can. Thanks, Brittany.
Absolutely. So nasal hygiene is something I recommend to all of my patients, and I like to call it preventative nasal hygiene. If you think about it, it makes sense. We brush our teeth every day. We take showers every day. We don't really think about cleaning our nose unless we're sick or we have allergies. But preventatively, we want to stay on top of it. And it's especially important for patients with allergies, but even patients that don't have allergies, always breathe through their nose, I still talk about nasal hygiene. So I'm a big fan of X-Clair, which is right here. It has an X in it because it is a saline spray with xylitol in it. Xylitol is an antimicrobial. This AYR air nasal gel, I really like this saline nasal gel, especially like I usually say to patients, if you know you're going to be outside for a while, You know, just kind of line the nasal cavity with that. These two sticks down here, these are aromatherapy inhalers. So this neti stick is my favorite. It is lavender, mint, eucalyptus, and menthol. Those are all nasal decongestants. I highly recommend everybody purchasing one of these. They're the most fabulous things you'll ever use. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them on the Himalayan Chandra website. I get them on Amazon. They're, I want to say like $4.95 for one. And then they also come in packs of 12. Boom Boom Sticks, I usually use these more with pediatrics. So if you have a pediatric practice, the reason for that is they come in flavors, bubblegum, watermelon, cantaloupe, so forth. The neti stick smells like straight up candy cane. So if a child does not like the smell of peppermint or candy canes, they're really not going to love to use their neti stick. The other thing that we talk a lot about is lip taping. Now, this is a touchy, controversial subject. What I will say personally, as for me as a myofunctional therapist, I can't speak for all myofunctional therapists. I am a big believer in lip taping. However, if we are working with a child, I absolutely want them to see an ENT first to get that airway clearance. I am never going to recommend lip taping to a patient that cannot breathe through their nose. One of the tests that we do in our office is a 3-minute breath test. Usually for adults, if they can pass that 3-minute breath test and, you know, like I wouldn't recommend it to an adult if they're like, I'm not using my CPAP, but I have severe sleep apnea. I'm not going to recommend that you tape your lips. But when we think about accomplishing our goals all day and all night, when, you know, during the day, we're able to be conscious of what we're doing. We can be aware of how we're posturing our tongue, we're posturing our lips. But sometimes when we go to sleep, you know, all bets are off. We don't really know what's going on. So I really like this MyoTape for kids and adults. The reason I like it, one, it's like a kinesiology-based tape. So it's very, very stretchy and it helps to really pull the skin down. I also like it because it keeps the lips completely open. So I feel like it is very safe. I feel very comfortable recommending this as a myofunctional therapist. I also will teach patients how to tape with kinesiology tape on their own because these can be a little bit more expensive. I know there's a lot of sleep docs on here, so I'm sure you've heard about like Somnifix and OI tape and all the other kind of lip tapes that are out there. I'm also a big fan of nasal dilators. So we have our mute nasal dilators, I like Breathe Right strips. I don't know if you guys have heard of intake breathing, but intake breathing is something that I've been recommending to a lot of my adult patients. As far as I know, they don't make a pediatric size. I guess you can maybe try the smallest size on your child if you wanted to, but intake breathing is essentially like, I kind of explain it like a nasal strip on steroids. It has two little adhesives that go right about here on your nostrils. And they have a little magnet on them. And those are disposable. Those you can only use once and then you throw them away. Then there's a black clip. I'm sorry, I don't have a picture of this on here for you guys, but there's a black clip that goes over it, attaches to those magnets, and that's what's going to dilate those nostrils. My husband tapes his lips and uses the nasal dilator, and he said the intake breathing probably opened him like 50% more than a regular Breathe Right strip. So definitely check those out for your patients if you'd like.
Real like quick.
Yeah.
Sorry. Michael jumped in with a joke, flex tape. But Michael, that goes in the chat. I'm just kidding. Michael also asked about Navage, which is the nasal spray device.
Yes. So really any kind of like neti pot, any kind of nasal lavage is great. Really, you just have to what your patients really like. There's some people that don't love doing those lavages for whatever reason, but they do work fabulous. You know, and maybe it's not something that they have to do every day. They can use the nasal spray every day and maybe they do the lavage like once or twice a week. I think it also depends on how congested they are, how, you know, bad their sinuses get. But yes, I do like those.
Cool. We're going to hold nasal spray questions till the end. So we'll come back to a couple of those we've got in the chat too. So thanks.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm going to have you guys, please take a second. I want you to breathe in through your nose and I want you to breathe out through your nose. And then I want you to think as you're doing that, where do you feel your tongue resting inside of your mouth? So when we talk about the proper position for our tongue, the tip of the tongue should be right on the incisive papilla. The exact location is like the posterior third of the incisive papilla. If you were to say the letter N, N, when you say the letter N, if you produce the N sound correctly, your tongue should hit that incisive papilla area. That is where we want the tip of the tongue to rest. And then we want the anterior two-thirds of the body of this tongue to also rest up in the roof of the mouth. It's just the very, very base of the tongue that is down, and it elevates when we swallow. But aside from that, this anterior two-thirds of the body should be resting all the way up in the roof of your mouth. So I'm going to drop my jaw right now so you guys can see. So that's how our tongue should be resting 24/7, except of course when we're eating or talking or singing or laughing or anything like that. We want to have our lips closed. Like we talked about, back teeth should be slightly apart, about 2 to 3 millimeters. The only time they should ever touch is when we swallow. This is going to help initiate that swallow reflex. It's also going to help stabilize our jaw when we swallow, our joints. And we want to make sure that we're breathing through our nose all day and all night. So this is what we consider correct oral rest posture. And this is really our main goal as a myofunctional therapist. So the tongue is a respiratory and a muscular organ. It is very important, as we know. It's important for optimal craniofacial development, growth and development, mastication, swallowing, speaking, keeping the upper airway open when we sleep. The tongue is very powerful. There's 8 muscles that come in pairs. So we have 16 muscles in our tongue. And through therapy, we're learning different exercises that help to activate those different muscles. One of the most important muscles, to activate for our sleep patients is that palatal glossus muscle. And there's a lot of patients that struggle to activate this muscle, especially if they have a posterior tongue tie or mid tongue restriction, which unfortunately we're not going to get much into tongue ties tonight, but if Awakened to Sleep would like to have me back again, I'd love to do a webinar just on tongue ties. So what are OMDs, or oral facial myofunctional disorders? They can involve dysfunctions of the jaw, the tongue, and or the lips, and they're going to impact functions such as breathing, chewing, swallowing, speaking. So these are some examples. So parafunctional habits, like clenching and grinding, non-nutritive sucking behaviors, any kind of oral habit, noxious oral habit, a lip apart posture, that tongue resting low and forward, a tongue thrust swallowing pattern, poor nasal breathing or mouth breathing, chewing disorders. And we talk a lot about like bolus collection and that oral preparatory phase. Causes of OMD. So they can be a combination of each of these. It could be lack of breastfeeding. The reason for that is the mechanism between breastfeeding and bottle feeding is completely different. Breastfeeding is going to support good oral facial function, where with bottle feeding, we tend to learn more of that low tongue posture. Non-nutritive sucking habits. If you think about that, anytime, let's say you were a thumb sucker, you put your thumb in your mouth, that tongue is going to now learn to sit in the floor of the mouth. If we're a nail biter, you go to bite your nails, that tongue wants to come forward to greet your nail. So now we're learning that forward tongue position, and also that jaw is going to move forward. Restricted nasal airways. This can be enlarged tonsils, adenoids, deviated septum, enlarged turbinates, nasal polyps. Allergies are another big one. There's a lot of people out there that struggle with unmanaged chronic allergies. Tethered oral tissues. Tongue tie, lip tie, cheek tie. And these OMDs can also be caused by occlusal trauma, neurological conditions. So there's, again, it could be a combination of things. What we typically see in our practice when we have incorrect oral muscle patterns, we might see TMD issues, a lot of bruxism going on, sleep disordered breathing. Again, we're talking about that umbrella term from open mouth posture, mouth breathing, snoring, upper airway resistance, full-blown sleep apnea. We see digestion issues, postural issues, recurrent ear, nose, and throat infections. So a lot of that has to do with the ability of the back part of that tongue to really elevate and seal. It is that elevation that's really going to help drain those eustachian tubes. If we don't have the pressure from the back of the tongue up there, those eustachian tubes cannot drain effectively. Periodontal disease and oral health issues. Insufficient craniofacial development, so, deficient maxilla and or mandible, speech problems, and feeding issues. So typically we would start a regular myofunctional therapy program around age 5. It is going to depend on the maturity of the patient. We do have mini myo programs, and those are going to be for more of our toddlers or 2, 3, 4-year-olds. who can do myofunctional therapy. So technically dentists, yes, although I highly recommend that you don't waste your valuable time doing myofunctional therapy because there's a lot of other great things that you guys can be doing that are going to be way more productive. But there are dentists that choose to do myofunctional therapy. We also have a lot of dentists that just choose to take our myofunctional therapy course just to better understand it so that they can support either their hygienist that's their myofunctional therapist or their outside myofunctional therapist. But typically their RDHs, speech language pathologists, those are probably the biggest two groups of us. But you can be an occupational therapist, physical therapist, registered nurse. You do have to have some kind of healthcare license. So myofunctional therapy's role in the multidisciplinary management of sleep apnea. So for one, we're working on strengthening those muscles. So we're targeting the muscles of the tongue, the throat, the mouth. And we know that the stronger these muscles are, the more that they're going to support our airway during sleep and reduce the likelihood of any kind of collapse or obstruction. We're improving muscle tone and control. So we can help prevent the tongue and the soft tissues from collapsing into the airway. Again, that's what that study that we're going to talk about how he talked about oral pharyngeal exercises, reducing that AHI. Promoting nasal breathing. So nasal breathing definitely helps to maintain that optimal airflow and reduce the risk of obstructive sleep apnea. You know, as soon as you start to mouth breathe, that jaw drops open, that tongue is going to come right down with it. So when I talk with my patients, we, as myofunctional therapists, like you're always going to hear myofunctional therapists talk about the tongue, the tongue, the tongue, the tongue. And the tongue really, really is a big part of it. And it does matter. But if your mouth is not closed, your tongue is never going to stay in the roof of your mouth. I mean, you can try it right now. You're never going to walk around like this, like ever. Your mouth's going to be open. That tongue's going to come down into the floor of the mouth. Correcting oral habits. So we're addressing, harmful habits like tongue thrusting, mouth breathing, improper swallowing patterns. And these can also contribute to airway obstruction. Enhancing compliance with oral appliance therapy and or CPAP therapy. So similar to that question that Michael asked about the CPAP, we can definitely help increase the efficacy and efficiency of oral appliance therapy, making it more comfortable for patients. And facilitating orthodontic treatment. So any patient that goes through any kind of orthodontics, be it traditional, clear aligner therapy, they need myofunctional therapy. When you think about the root cause of why somebody has underdeveloped jaws or crowding, malocclusion, whatever the case may be, it is soft tissue dysfunction. So if you do not correct that soft tissue dysfunction, you will see relapse. As you're moving the teeth and you're shifting the teeth, we need those balancing pressures between the tongue, the lips, and the cheeks in order to keep that beautiful change or stability of your orthodontic results. We like to think as myofunctional therapists that our oral facial muscles, our tongue resting up in the roof of the mouth, our lips being closed, is like our body's own retention system. So when you have that inability to rest your tongue in the roof of the mouth, this can lead to an obstructive event, right? If we do not have the tongue stuck, I'm Italian again, guys, so I am always talking with my hands. When we have our tongue suctioned up in the roof of the mouth like this, mainly that back part of the tongue, and then we go to sleep, so we're now in this supine position. If we have that lightly suctioned posture like we're supposed to, then great, that airway can stay open. But even if we have the tip of the tongue up there, but the mid section of the tongue is down, gravity will take over and this tongue will fall and block that airway. So not only do we want to make sure that for airway purposes that we're keeping our tongue up there, but then we also want to think about the root cause of obstructive sleep apnea or sleep disordered breathing, right? Often that root cause is underdevelopment of our jaws. And that tongue is going to play a huge part in making sure that we properly develop that craniofacial respiratory complex. We like to think that that tongue is really like an architect for the upper and lower jaw. We really need the proper forces from the tongue to help grow that bone. So when the tongue is resting in the roof of the mouth from birth, because we are born obligate nasal breathers with that tongue suctioned in the roof of our mouth, the pressures from the tongue laterally and anteriorly help to develop that nice U-shaped arch that we want to see. when that tongue posture drops and we don't have that support from the tongue, that's where we have those unintentional pressures. The cheeks are going to push in against the teeth, cave in that dentition. We tend to see the narrow arches, high narrow palate, sometimes so much so that it can even deviate that septum. So I have a challenge for you. I'd like for you to suction your tongue to the roof of your mouth like this. If you can't do it, think about popping your tongue. Hold it up there. And then I want you to try to breathe through your mouth. If you're doing this correctly, you should not be able to breathe through your mouth, right? So it is when that tongue posture drops that we begin to mouth breathe. And how is that going to impact our craniofacial development? When we look at this photo, the gentleman on the top, he is a nasal breather. He has good oral posture. That tongue is resting in the roof of the mouth. Those lips are closed. We can see how wide his face is, how well developed his jaw is. He most likely would have a very good airway size. He has a beautiful straight nose, and he is just a little bit more attractive than this gentleman on the bottom. The gentleman on the bottom has that long, narrow face, that really elongated face, poor definition of these cheekbones, tired eyes. He'd have dark circles under these eyes. You can see how much that jaw is set back. If we were to take a cone beam on him, that airway would probably be much, much, much smaller than the gentleman on the top. And you could even see how this little bump on his nose grew. So this is just a study talking about the effects of mouth breathing on dental, facial, and craniofacial development. And it concluded that nasal respiratory obstruction with mouth breathing during growth periods in children has a greater tendency for clockwise rotation of the growing mandible with an irregular increase in anterior lower vertical face height and decreased posterior facial height. Some of the other research that I wanted to share with you all, this was the study, the meta-analysis that I already talked to you about decreasing the AHI by 50% in adults, 62% in children. This is another study. This was a randomized control trial in 2009 to determine the impact of oral pharyngeal exercises in patients with moderate OSA. There were 31 patients randomized to 3 months of daily exercises involving the tongue, the soft palate, and the lateral pharyngeal wall. And they concluded that these oral pharyngeal exercises significantly reduced OSA severity and symptoms and represent a promising treatment for moderate obstructive sleep apnea. I do want to say one thing here. Myofunctional therapy, often like our oral appliance therapy, is really more successful for mild to moderate cases. Oftentimes with those patients with severe sleep apnea, unless they're having other kind of therapies or interventions or management of their OSA, sometimes I will not see them, especially if they are not being managed at all for their severe sleep apnea. But it is a little bit more difficult for myofunctional therapy to really improve a patient that has severe sleep apnea. So it is more for patients with mild to moderate. This was a clinical study in 2017 that showed that myofunctional therapy can be an effective therapeutic strategy regarding the treatment of muscle facial pain and hypertonia of the chewing and swallowing muscles. All treated patients in the study had reduction of facial pain and reduced number of bruxism episodes per hour. And in many cases, such episodes disappeared. So again, this is not something I'm ever going to guarantee to my patients. I'm never going to tell them if you do myofunctional therapy, you're never going to clench and grind your teeth again. That is not what my goal is of myofunctional therapy. My goal is to restore proper oral resting posture. Now, what happens as a side effect of restoring proper oral resting posture is a very, very beautiful thing, but that is just not something that I can ever guarantee patients or that I would market. This is a study talking about lingual frenuloplasty done with myofunctional therapy. So this was done by Dr. Zaghi and Dr. Audrey Yoon in 2019. It's a level 3 study. There were 420 patients treated with myo, anilingual frenuloplasty for indications of mouth breathing, snoring, clenching, and or myofascial tension. And this study did include that it was effective for treating mouth breathing, snoring, clenching, myofascial tension, and that it is a promising treatment and it is safe. This cross-sectional cohort study from 2017, again by Dr. Yoon and Dr. Zaghi, 302 subjects. They were studying the correlation between tongue tie and maxillary hypoplasia. And this concluded that restricted tongue mobility was associated with narrowing of the maxillary arch and elongation of the soft palate. And these findings suggest that variations in tongue mobility may impact maxillofacial development. So, you know, hopefully you guys all feel comfortable with looking at lingual function. Again, I would love to talk to you about tongue ties a little bit more, because unfortunately, this is not something that we learn enough about in hygiene school for me or dental school for you. Hopefully through your airway sleep journey, you've become more familiar with tongue ties and really how they can impact patients functionally. So I know you guys want to know more about the business of Mayo. So the how, the who, the when, the why. I know Chad said we were going to get to that. So here we are. So how can you utilize myofunctional therapy? You can have a myofunctional therapist in office. You can have an outside myofunctional therapist that you refer to. We have a lot of docs that pay for their hygienist to become a myofunctional therapist, and we'll have them do myo out of their office. You can pay these hygienists hourly. You can do it on a commission basis. If you're working with a myofunctional therapist outside of the office, you can even offer them to come into your space, rent space within your office, and then there could be, you know, part of the commission on the patients that you refer to them that they would pay you. So there's really a bunch of different ways that you can kind of work this out. I mean, if any of you have questions, please feel free to reach out. My biggest piece of advice is if you're going to do myofunctional therapy in your office, please, please, please treat it as a separate entity of your office. If your hygienist is doing the myofunctional therapy, do not have them bouncing back and forth between myo evaluation, SRP, prophy, myo. No, it should either be a day of myo, a day of hygiene, or half day myo, half day hygiene. It's easiest to keep it separate. You also want to think about what are you going to expect of this therapist? Like, what are their duties going to be outside of just providing the therapy? Because that is also going to depend what you're going to pay them, either commission-wise or salary-wise. Are they going to be in charge of billing, their own scheduling, the marketing, the networking? You can pay, you know, your hygienist or myofunctional therapist. She doesn't have to be, he or she doesn't have to be a hygienist, as an employee. So like a W-2 or a 1099. So that pre-workflow. So,
hey, sorry to interrupt you, Brittany.
Yeah.
We had a question from Stanley. How do you find local myofunctional therapists?
Great question. So, well, one, you can try to Google them, but there are directories. So Airway Health Solutions, we are actually coming out with a myofunctional therapy directory for the therapists that we trained. There's other directories out there. So the IAOM has a directory. The AOMT has a directory. There's something called Airway Circle. They have a directory. I'm trying to think, joining like Airway Facebook groups, really, and just kind of typing in there, hey, does anybody know myofunctional therapists near wherever you're from? You can contact me. I can try to get you set up with one. The other beautiful thing about myofunctional therapy is it can be done virtually. So I work with patients globally. We have a lot of international patients that we work with, and especially for adults, there is no issue doing it virtually. When you're trying to work with like a 2, 3, 4-year-old, sometimes 5, that can be a little difficult. But just know that if you don't have a local myofunctional therapist, connect with, find somebody that kind of, you know, you jive with, that you guys have the same, you know, philosophy, and you can still refer to them virtually. So that is an option. That workflow, so the RDH should really learn to screen for myofunctional disorders. Even if you're only going to have one trained myo RDH, every single RDH in your practice should know how to screen for myofunctional disorders. Once they do, when you come in to do your exam, you're going to review those OMDs. That referral is going to be made. That patient can get scheduled for their comprehensive evaluation with the myofunctional therapist, either in your office if you're going to have it, or, you know, you can hand them that referral slip for their outside referral. And like I said, we want to handle this separately from hygiene.
Real quick, we had We have a follow-up question. I think you're going to get to this. That's why I wanted to say it.
Yeah.
Preeti asked, how does one get trained and licensed to become a myofunctional therapist?
Yes, we are totally going to talk about this. That will be, I mean, should I answer it now or do we want to wait till the slide?
You can wait. I want to say, Preeti, we got your question. We're getting to that in just a moment.
We got you. We got you covered. We're totally going to talk about that. I'm not just going to throw all this information at you and then not tell you how you can become a myofunctional therapist. But anyways, so we want to have that shared message. Now, everybody that's in sleep dentistry understands the importance of having that shared message in order to be successful. So you might have to invest in other office training to ensure that you're able to integrate myo and you have a good workflow. And you know, when you're either deciding you're going to train your hygienist, have them in office, you want to think about certain contract considerations as well. Like, let's say you are going to pay your hygienist to go take a malfunctional therapy course. Well, something that I would suggest having in that contract is, you know, maybe they have to work for you for an X amount of time if you're going to pay for that education. So we want to make sure both parties are protected, both the dentist and the hygienist slash myotherapist. So key steps in a myo workflow itself. So we already made that referral to the in-office myofunctional therapist. They are going to do their assessment or their comprehensive evaluation. We're looking at, I mean, everything, the oral and facial structures, the way the tongue works, the way the jaw works, the way the tongue works separately from the jaw. This is what they're going to learn in the course, but it's going to start with that assessment so that we can see what underlying issues they have that can benefit from myofunctional therapy. We're then going to have that diagnosis and treatment planning stage. So based on those findings, a diagnosis is going to be made. A personalized myofunctional therapy program is going to be developed to address the patient's specific needs. I am very, very big on that. There are some myo programs out there that are more of like a blueprint or cookie cutter approach. I don't believe in that because not every patient is the same. And not only that, but I might have an issue similar to Chad, but the way that we're going to reach our goals might be completely different for us. Patient education, I mean, this is really going to slide throughout the whole thing because patient education never ends, but we want to make sure that the patient understands what myofunctional therapy is going to do for them, not only for their oral health, but their overall well-being. We're going to implement that actual myofunctional therapy program. That might look, typically, it's going to be about 30-minute sessions. Patients might be seen on a weekly basis. Patients might be seen on a every other week basis. It's never more than once a week, typically. Also, depending what other interventions might be going on, that might even change, but it's usually about once a week or once every other week. There's going to be continued monitoring and progress evaluation. So rechecking measurements, measuring different muscle strength, et cetera, making sure that the myofunctional therapist is staying in communication with the referring doctor. So all parties know what's going on at the same time. Collaboration with other providers. Oftentimes, or I shouldn't even say often, all of the time, myofunctional therapy is never just the thing, right? Myofunctional therapy is an adjunctive therapy. And I'm very upfront with my patients about that. I am very rarely the only person you're ever going to need, right? We might need to work with a sleep doc, a sleep dentist, an airway dentist, an expansion provider, an ENT, a tongue tie release provider, a body worker. Usually, again, that collaborative team is key. Once we finish with that myofunctional therapy program, we don't just say sayonara to our patients. There is maintenance and follow-up. So typically, we're giving a maintenance program for an extended period of time. I follow up with my patients for about a year with quarterly check-ins. I want to make sure that everything that I taught them is stable because we want to have those long-term results. I want to know when I check up on them in 5-10 years, everything's going to be the same. So billing. So I highly suggest fee for service. What you're going to get is definitely going to vary on your geography. You can kind of do some research to see what other myofunctional therapists are doing in your area. Sometimes if there's not a myofunctional therapist, I'll say call a local speech therapist office and see what they're billing for a session. Typically, you can get about $2,500 for a comprehensive myofunctional therapy program. That's on average. Sometimes, again, depending where you are, it might be more, might be a little less, but generally about 2,500 is pretty standard. And then that evaluation can range anywhere from 200 to 500. You can offer super bill production, where, again, you're just handing the patient this piece of paper that has diagnostic codes, procedure codes, confirmation that they made payment, they'd send it into their insurance. These are typically the most used myofunctional therapy codes. Now, here's the thing. There aren't myofunctional therapy codes that exist. These are actually physical therapy codes. I am not a physical therapist. Most myofunctional therapists are not physical therapists. So oftentimes, this is going to get denied. Usually, I say to patients, expect nothing. If you get something, I will throw a party for you. Over the last 18 months, I will say I have seen more and more patients get reimbursement. Oftentimes, what they'll do is have one of those like gap exemptions where if there isn't a treating therapist in a, say, 50-mile radius that's in network, sometimes insurance will pick it up. It does go to medical, not to dental. So why do we want to incorporate myo into the dental office? So for one, for diversification, this is going to allow you to offer even more services to your comprehensive practice. There are going to be patients out there that are going to be seeking these specialized treatments. So more patients will find you. Comprehensive care. So in my opinion, myofunctional therapy has a place in every single dental treatment plan. It complements it very well. It helps to increase the stability of your results because, again, we're working on that oral function and stabilizing and creating that balance between the muscles. So having myofunctional therapy as part of your treatment plan is going to lead to an even more comprehensive treatment plan. Patient demand, there is, I am telling you, I started myofunctional therapy in 2016. Over the last even 5 years, the awareness of myofunctional therapy, especially since like James Nestor's book, Breath, COVID, people are wanting to know more about nasal breathing. There is such a growing awareness and patients are looking for these services. They are Googling myofunctional therapy near me. Improved outcomes. We already talked about how myofunctional therapy can help lead to better treatment outcomes, be it orthodontics, clear aligner therapy, sleep apnea, oral appliance devices, speech disorders, these like parafunctional habits. So think about your restorative practices. It's going to save you valuable chair time because you're going to spend less time redoing procedures that failed due to those parafunctional habits. Competitive advantage. So there's not a lot of us. There's not a lot of myofunctional therapists that exist. So offering these myofunctional therapy services inside your four walls is 1,000% going to set your practice apart from your competitors. And collaborative care. Remember, I mentioned all of those team members that could be seeing one patient. So you're really fostering these interdisciplinary connections, which is only going to further expand your referral networks. So other benefits for the dental office. So patients with OMDs, we have to think about, typically have poor orthodontic retention. They have poor gum health. A lot of them have periodontal disease, dry mouth, a higher risk for decay, increased bruxism and digestive issues, which we know what that can do to our dentition. So resolving these myofunctional issues can add value and retention to, again, we talked about this, your orthodontics, even your periodontal procedures. I remember practicing as a hygienist and there'd be patients that I saw for their routine perio maintenance and they still had active disease. And I'm like, what's going on? They're doing everything they're supposed to. They're following all their instructions. They're coming every 3 months. What is going on here? They're bruxing the living daylights out of their teeth. And, you know, when I was a hygienist, I didn't know any of this airway stuff. The doctor I worked for was not airway centric at all. And all we did was put patients in night guards and nobody ever looked at their airway or their sleep. I unfortunately sometimes piss a lot of dentists off when I go into their offices for lunch and learns and I tell their hygienists to never suggest a night guard without ruling out airway first. And I know I'm preaching to the choir and you guys all know that, but it is so, so important. So we're going to add retention to your restorative work, your cosmetic dentistry, and your sleep dentistry. We already talked about this. cosmetic practices, if there's any, you know, practices on here. So we can help improve those facial aesthetics, restore balance to the oral facial complex by promoting that lip seal, promoting facial symmetry. If you're a TMD and oral facial pain practice, every patient with TMD needs myofunctional therapy. Now, there is no research to support that, but if you go back and you look at your TMD patients and you discuss tongue posture and you discuss breathing patterns, all of these patients have dysfunctional breathing patterns. Dysfunctional breathing patterns do not support good oral posture. So looking at their tongue, looking at their lips, talking about that dental freeway space, we have to establish those dominant nasal breathing patterns. We talked about perio. We talked a lot about sleep. If you're a pediatric practice, again, this could be a whole other night of discussion, but this is like my passion project to spread awareness on sleep disordered breathing and the connection between sleep disordered breathing and ADD and ADHD. And I know a lot of doctors on here aren't pediatric specialists, so I'm going to move on. But if any of you want to know a little bit more about this, I'd love to talk about it. And better surgical results. So, you know, orthognathic cases, if we have some orthodontists on here that are involved in orthognathic cases or general dentists that, you know, have patients going in, think about any surgery. Like, you're never going to recommend surgery without some form of physical therapy. And that is going to be myofunctional therapy for these patients. We are moving their jaws in a completely different position and everything feels foreign inside their mouth. They have to relearn how to rest their tongue. They have to relearn how to chew, how to swallow. And then if we have any phrenectomy providers on here, we really want to make sure we're seeing patients pre and post-op. So I hope, you know, after tonight, yes, with anything, there is always that initial investment, but I hope that you can see those long-term benefits and the ROI on offering myofunctional therapy services in your practice.
So let's get to our questions. Someone named user put wet Q-tip. I believe that's in relation to maybe a exercise or a treatment modality.
Yeah, I wonder if what they're referring to is sometimes, you know, we really have to help increase that proprioception. Like, you might think asking somebody to bring the tip of their tongue to their incisive papilla is an easy task, and it is not always. So one of the things we do is dip a Q-tip in like ice cold water, bring it to the incisive papilla, and then have the patient elevate their tongue. So perhaps that might have been what they're talking about, but I'm not sure.
Interesting. Cool. remember, more context in your question, make sure that we answer the right question. So Dr. Alvarez says, have you used physical therapy trigger point to use a physical therapy trigger point exercise of opening muscles?
So I work with physical therapists that do trigger point therapy. I don't personally do it, but I have, again, I refer to outside to physical therapists. I try my best to kind of stay in my lane. And unfortunately, as registered dental hygienists, we do not have the license to touch, which is wild to me because we're literally in people's mouths all day long. But at least in Connecticut, I don't have a license to touch.
Got it. It's a good line to know. You got to know what the rules are so you can either abide by them or break them like an artist. But Dr. Alvarez asked a different question. Can my RDA expanded function 2 get certified in myo?
So here's the thing. There is not a governing board for myofunctional therapy. So technically, there's nobody that's telling you you can't. However, they really should have some kind of healthcare license. So typically when somebody takes our course, we're asking for their hygiene license number, you know, their speech license, their nursing license, proof of that. So there aren't going to be a lot of myofunctional therapy courses that are going to allow dental assistants in the course.
Got it. All right, you guys, keep these questions coming. These are good. Cassie asks, if Myo is already part of the scope of practice, is it necessary to be certified? Can you practice Myo without being COM?
Great question. So I don't know if you've already you have to take a myofunctional therapy course. Like, you have to have a 28-hour introductory course under your belt to practice myofunctional therapy. However, you do not need to be certified. So I did not get certified for the first 3 years that I was a myofunctional therapist. As soon as you're done taking our course, you can literally start practicing that next day. So no, you do not need to be certified to practice.
Great. I like that requirement though. That's good insurance for those who are practicing. Dr. Custer asked, if an adult has a narrow palate, does that have to be corrected before myo?
Yes. So it really depends on how narrow. You know, if you really think about it, it's going to be very difficult to teach somebody to rest their tongue. There just isn't enough real estate for up in the roof of the mouth. So oftentimes we are referring for expansion. Now, for adults, depending on how they're going through that expansion process, I might see them through that expansion process. And if you remember how I mentioned that typically you're seeing patients once a week or once every other week, but depending on other interventions, it might be different. So say a patient's going through like removable appliances for expansion, I might see them like once a month so we can still work on creating good foundations and changing poor oral habits, but I'm also following them throughout that expansion journey.
Awesome. Great. All right. Can you practice on your own? I'm guessing as a non-doctor or a hygienist, or do you have to be under a dentist or doctor?
So you definitely want to look up your state regulations. But most myofunctional therapists that are registered dental hygienists do have private practices. So I have a private practice. I do not practice under a doctor.
Cool. Great question. Yeah. We had our friend user who asked the Q-tip question.
Q-tip for nasal hygiene.
Yeah.
Yes. So another really good nasal hygiene trick with the Q-tip, if you get white flower essential oil, dip the Q-tip in that, and then there's three spots that you want to hit on the nose. That works really well for nasal hygiene too.
Awesome. Co asked, I've seen molecular iodine nasal sprays, wondered if that would be good for nasal hygiene as well.
Yeah. So I have some patients that have already been using those. I don't recommend them just because I love the X-Clair nasal spray. But if I have a patient that already has a good nasal hygiene regimen going, I'm not going to change it on them.
Cool. Awesome. Galaxy S8, tempted not to ask this because you didn't put your real name, but we're going to go with it. How does certification work if there's no governing body?
That's a great question. So I don't know if you mean like, what does the process look like? But so again, there's different institutes that offer different certifications. The COM, which is the one that you're able to take after taking my course, is offered through the International Association of Oral Facial Myology. They do have a board, and that board, not only is the test, does the test consist of, I want to say it's like 100 multiple choice questions. It is open book. It's based off a lot of research, a lot of reading. There is also a clinical portion. So a board member flies out to where you are and watches you perform therapy at different stages throughout their program.
Yeah. I do want to kind of say, and I don't know, this might be tongue in cheek, but you know, a lot of the medical and dental boards that exist today didn't exist 50 years ago. It started with something like that academy that was a group of healthcare providers who banded together, gathered the data, gathered the studies, and created criteria. And it starts with that group. And so this is the start of one of those additional therapies that's impacting the airway. So, yeah, cool. Dr. Zembecki said, is the width of a standard cotton roll still a good rule of thumb as a basic screening tool for narrow arch?
Absolutely. So our cotton rolls generally are about 37 millimeters. So if you put that cotton roll up between 3 and 14 and you're shoving that thing up there, that patient most likely is going to have a deficient maxilla. So definitely a good rule of thumb.
Awesome. All right, folks, we had one person say, check out a book, Growing a Healthy Child, Secrets from a Wise Doc. I don't know anything about that book, so I can't endorse it, but just so you guys know. Last call for questions. We are wrapping up. I can say, Brittany, we've gotten some comments in the chat sent to the hosts and panelists that people loved the talk tonight. It sounds like this is a can of worms, and we've opened it for some of these folks. If there's one thing that you could encourage everyone with tonight, the most important thing about myofunctional therapy and helping patients, what would that be?
Nasal hygiene. we need to be able to breathe through our nose. Even as a myofunctional therapist, I could be voted the best myofunctional therapist in America. If my patient cannot breathe through their nose, I will not be successful. So doing what we can to, nasal hygiene, reduce allergens, talk about, breathing and how patients feel that they're breathing. Just really start those conversations. As we do already in our sleep practices. I would just really encourage the use of nasal hygiene. If there's one thing that you're going to start incorporating, that's very easy to make for a recommendation.
Awesome. Dr. Zambeck, you jumped in again. Will the certification class cover sleep disturbed breathing?
Yes. Yep. So we have, in our course, we have, a module on sleep disordered breathing for the myofunctional therapist. And then we actually have two bonus modules. One is by, ooh, balloons on my face. One is by Dr. Kevin Boyd, who is a pediatric airway dentist out of Chicago. And another one is by Dr. Ben Moralia, who's an airway dentist out of New York.
Thank you for joining us on this webinar. If you'd like more information on dental sleep medicine education, coaching, or home sleep testing services, please feel free to reach out to us at awakentosleep.com/edu or at info@awaken2sleep.com. Thank you and have a great day.